Okay, so so we left off here in Simon Shinhei Sif Sif Yud Gimel. We're in the middle of Yud Beis in this Piskei Tshuva over here. Okay, so wasn't that much in the Beis Yosef. Let's just take a quick look. In Yud Beis, it says that if the boy was born, over here. So in Yud Gimel, let's see, in the tour, in the middle of the tour, in Yud Gimel, it says, Nasan Hamaos Lekohen Besoch Lamed Yom, that he gave the money to the Kohen within 30 days. Al Manas Sheyachol HaPidyon Midi, that the Pidyon should happen right away. So eno padui, so it doesn't work. Meaning, if it was done within 30 days, it doesn't count. Vim nasnam lo amanas shiyachal hapidyon, but if it was given on condition that the pidyon should only happen after 30 days, padui, so then it would work. Afilu ein hamos be'ein la'achar lamed yom, even if the money no longer existed after 30 days, so it's still going to work. It's still going to be chal. In the Darkei Moshe on the bottom, so he points out from the Shubha Sedashin that this whole thing is only b'diavad. L'chadchila aser, you shouldn't do it within 30 days, even b'diavad. Yimin ha-mos b'ein ein v'no padoi. And even if you did do it, if the money doesn't exist anymore, it doesn't work, and he assumes that's what the way Tosfos holds, and there was a ruj, chen ikr v'chen kasav v'paskav, simil l'eishlam adalav, v'kol shkein im haksir and kodim shiagil yom l'amad alav. And certainly, if the money got given back. Without getting into those details as to whether the money still has, that is a long, and you see there's a very lengthy shach on this page, that I believe is discussing that issue, but we are hesitant to allow a pidyon to take place within 30 days, even if you say that it should only be chal after the 30 days are up. Right, so that is the halacha as taken out from this tour and the Beis Yosef. So if we go to page 2, so how is this quoted? So the Mechabi here says Mishapad beno besoch shloshim yom im amar la me'achshav im beno padoi im amar le la'achar shloshim yom beno padoi. That if somebody was poda within 30 days, if he says that it's happening now, so it doesn't count for the kid, it doesn't help, even if the money still exists later on, the shach adds. V'im amar leila achar shloshim yom b'no padoi, but then if you say, after 30 days, the kid will be poda then, even if the money doesn't exist anymore, it would still, it would work. And then the Ramah adds that if the money doesn't exist, or the father gave it back, or was given back to the father, even with the Eved, the kid, it wouldn't work. V'tov l'hachmer l'achso liftoso. And it's good to be machmer and be poda again. Okay, so that is the halacha here. So we touched on...
What does it mean when you say the money doesn't exist?
Meaning he spent it. It's gone.
He gave it to the Kohen and he spent it?
He gave it to the Kohen and the Kohen spent it, yeah.
Okay, but you had them. Okay.
Yeah. So the Piskei Tshuva here, in even though it's from the previous sif, really covers this issue of okay. So what do you do when the father and this child are not together on day 30? So what is the preference? So we sort of touched on this already. So the Dugla, he starts off by quoting right there, the Piskei Tshuva on the bottom, Yud Chaf Aleph. He says, "See the Dugla Mirvava, which appears on the previous page." Where he said the chesherotza av leilach ledarko betoch lamed yese shliach liftos aval sheiftu ha'av makom shahayasham biyom shloshim ledaiti lo yuchal levarich. He says what the father should do is appoint a shliach if that's the case. I mean, the father is not around on day 30, so he can't do it within 30 days. And the Rava is nervous about even doing it 30 days and saying that, you know, the money should still exist in 30 or it's only going to take place. Are not so thrilled about doing that. So therefore, that right. So he could do it on his own. I mean, he doesn't need the child present. The only problem is, if he's on his own, he doesn't necessarily know that the child is still alive at that point, right? So you get to day 30. The father says, "Okay, Cohen, I want to do a pidyon ben." The Cohen says, "Where's the kit?" So he says, "Oh, it's in Prague." So yeah, very nice. It's in Prague. You're in Pressburg. How do you know the kit is still alive? He said, "Well, I don't know. I assume he seemed okay when I left." So the Dalgo Miravav, so the Nodu Yehuda is nervous about that, right? So therefore he says, you can't make a bracha. because who's to say that the kid is still alive? So Sofek Brachos Lahakel. Lo Yuchal Levarich Yulai Meis Haben Beveso Umiyahiv Lahaben Cheskas Chayim Gam Kein Yesh Lefakfe Ki Kol Zman Shelo Avru Shoshin Yom Ein Lo Cheskas Chayim. Says, and I, if you want to tell me that maybe the kid has a chazaka that he's alive, meaning once he was alive last time you saw him, so therefore you could assume that he continues to be alive, he says, well, not so fast, because within 30 days everything's a bit touch and go, and therefore you can't really say for sure, and can't rely on that chazaka. Maybe he was an Eiffel. Therefore, he hasn't established a chazaka yet. The truth is, you could work on that and say, well, you know, most kids do make it, so therefore you have a conflict of a rove versus a chazaka. But at the end, those of you who this says better just to appoint a shliach. That way the shliach will do it, and everything will be okay. Now, in the Node of Yehuda himself, he added in that... he added in the idea that we aren't so comfortable even with doing using a shliach in these cases. So he says, yeah, but in this case it would work. Meaning in this case, everybody would agree that shliach would work. That's the way the Node of Yehuda concludes. Then the Pesach Yehuda continues to see Beis Shmuel. Leave his wife one place, go someplace else. So should he do a pidyon after 30 days, even if you don't know if the kid is alive? He could do the pidyon. He's not concerned that he's going to die. Meis havlad toch lamid yom. The okia chazaka the cheskas asi mikoach ruba havi chazaka ayin sham shaharich bezeh. That the chazaka, the rove of kids make it, so therefore that rove establishes the chazaka that this kid is still alive. And therefore you could do it. And then he adds in, the Chassam Sofer says this as well. He sigal dagel mirvava. The Chassam Sofer argues on the dagel mirvava. The Chassam Sofer was only a little bit, was younger than the Node of Yehuda. But he says that darachin v'halda de yosir tov shiftu ba'atzmo b'mokum shahu mishiftenu ayde shliach v'chein ra ma'isech mimoro hagon morenu harav nasan Adler. He says that is you could assume that he's alive, and it's better that the father, wherever he is, that he does the pinyon aben, even in the absence of the child being present. And he adds in that was also the way that he saw that such a thing happened with his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler. Essentially, the Chassam Sofer has this Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, who's a very unique individual, and he quotes, Nosson Adler was everything. Nosson Adler lived in Frankfurt, but he wasn't the Rav of Frankfurt. He was sort of like this, a little bit of an outcast in Frankfurt. I think it was put in Chirim at certain points because he incorporated, like he wanted to daven Nusach Ari, and actually I heard this more recently, is that he actually had duchening, daily duchening in his shul. And amongst other interesting things. But anyways, so he quotes Nosson Adler, saying that Chassam Sofer is on this other side. The truth is, today, this machlokas sort of is null and void, because even if the father is out of town on day 30, you can call, right? You can actually see the child in front of you alive at that time. So therefore, this big machlokas, achronim, in that time, sort of has fallen by the wayside. Okay, I think that's a sort of...
The Kohen has to be, when the father redeems him, even though he's in a remote site, the Kohen has to be in the same place as the father, right?
I mean, there are forms of kinyanim. There are forms of kinyanim that you could do remotely. I'm not sure it's 100% necessary. The Kohen probably needs to have the coins accessible. If the father says, okay, hereby give you permission, you know, they're on Zoom together. I don't know, I could check the... let's see. I only bought one of the Corona Svarim that were published, of the collection of tshuvas. So let's see, that maybe... which was the Kovetz Halachos with the Psukim of Rav Shmuel from Rabbi Kleinman. Let's see, does he have anything in here with regards to Pidyon HaBen? No. No. All right. It sounds like one of these Corona Shilas that would come up today. Like, oh, no one could be together. The father has Corona. What do you do? So, Lachora, if you sort of gave... If you gave the money beforehand and then said, okay, I'm hereby being kohen to you the money, and the kohen picks it up at the time, not sure you need to actually do a handover from one to the other. As long as the father is being timocha and the kohen picks it up, they might be able to be yotze. Okay. So, so that is Yud Gimel. Ah. And then, right, and then we had this end here of Mishu at the end of Yud Gimel, where he says, Mishu Safik im huchai v'pidyon pater, shemotsu mechaver ol avaraya. That anybody who says that, anybody who has a suffix, therefore you're going to be pater, because whoever, basamotsu mechaver ol avaraya, in this case, the Kohen is the one seeking to take the money. Now, it's interesting, that because, again, the flip side of that is Safik d'oraisa l'chumra. So the father has a chi of d'oraisa, and now you have a suffix. So on one hand, the chiyuv d'oraisa, safik d'oraisa l'chumra, means that the father needs to pay. However, safik hamotzi mechaver ol avaraya indicates that he doesn't have to pay. So you sort of have a conflict of two ideas, and the mechaber here passes like this. There's not so much said about it here, so I'd like to examine it more a little bit. Not every, how far do you take that is a bit of a question, and it comes up over the next couple of things like miscarriages, if there's a miscarriage on the first kid, or not really sure about the various things. So that is the klal, but how far to take it is a little bit unclear. Maybe some cases will come up as we continue along. Okay, so then we get to Sif Yudalid. So Sif Yudalid also is not, I don't believe there is much here in the Beis Yosef. Yeah, so there wasn't much in the, I don't know if, oh, there. Yeah, there wasn't really anything in the Beis Yosef, but what does he say here? Meisa'a v'soch sholoshim yom, harei ha-ben b'cheskes shelo nifta. So if the father died within 30 days, and then they realize that 30 days have gone by, and oh, it's time for pidyon ha-ben. So maybe, like, the father could have set up beforehand. I mean, this is coming right after Sif Yud Gimel. Sif Yud Gimel is saying that the father could give the kohen and say, here's the money, and it should only be chal, the pidyon should only be chal after... after 30 days, after the child's 30 days old. So he could have done that. So the Mechaber here says, well, the child is becheskas that he wasn't poda until there's a proof brought that the pidyon was done. Now, the truth is, this is a little bit of a thing against the right. The line right before said that you have to be sure that you're chayiv in pidyon. And here we're saying, well, based on the chazaka, that most people don't do a pidyon aben before 30 days, so therefore we're going to demand that the father pay over give over the 30. So you already see like a little bit of a chink in the armor from the previous statement that always besafik we say hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. Right here, it's not hamotzi mechaver olav haraya. Here, we generally are not motzi mamon based on a chazaka. So, but yet here we are. But if the father died after 30 days have gone by, so then the chazak is that he was poda, meaning the father dies, the child is 40 days old, and says, hey, wait a second, was there opinion of ben done? I don't know. Were you there? I was invited, and nobody knows if he did it. But the assumption would be that the father did it. I assume there, you know, if the father would have had no idea, if the father would have been unable, you know, in a coma or something, it probably wouldn't count. But if there's at least the thought that the father would have done the pidyon haben, had the ability to do so, so you could rely on the fact that the father would have done the pidyon haben on day 30, and therefore you would not be motzi mamun from the child or from the estate after the father died. Right? Unless they know that at the time of Misa, he said that he hadn't yet been podit. All right, so if he said he hadn't been podit, so then obviously it would still need to be paid. Okay, and then that goes to Tesvav. So Tesvav says, "Ovar ha'av v'lo padas bino." Right, the father violated the din; he was never podit his son. So kishi yagdil chayiv liftos atzmo. So now that he gets older, he is chayiv to be poda himself. Right. So when he gets older, he is chayiv to be poda himself. So this kind of thing happens, right? That pinyon ben didn't happen. Kids of bal tshuva. Hey, wait a second. I'm a firstborn. Pinyon ben should have happened. So if he's above 13, so then he would be poda himself. Now the Pischei Tshuva here in Tesvav in Chafei, so he has an interesting point. He says Ayin be Ayin be something Zichron Yosef. I don't know. tough stands for, but Chelik Yerdeya, Sasun Chafav, Shekasev, Dahainu Shiye Ben Gimel Shana Dafka. He says, you have to wait for the kid to be 13 years old. I mean, why can't you just wait for him to be Higil Chinuch? I mean, when does his Chiyav set in? So if he's going to have a Chiyav after he turns 13, so then there's a Chiyav already before he's 13. Because a child who is a Gil Chinuch has a mitzvah derabanan to go ahead and do the mitzvos. So why can't he do it before he's 13? He has a chiv to do it. He says no. Da'afagav shechayv v'chol mitzvos midurabanan, that even though he does have a chiv to do all the mitzvos derabanan, mishe Gil Chinuch, once he's old enough to know what he's doing, haynu dafka b'mitzvos sheyachol l'kaiman gam achar sheyagdil, that only goes on mitzvos that he'd be able to fulfill after he got older. Right, but here, Ashein mitzvah, this mitzvah is a one-time deal. Right, the pidyon shimi kaimena achshav, he fulfills it now, lo yachol kaima shumi sheyigdil. He's not going to be able to do it when he gets older. The chein svarazu kasev hamizrachi so perik lechlecha parshas lechlecha b'tama davar lo mal Avram Avinu alav shalom kodem shenitztave ayin sham by mashal kasev lekamen reishim and shenayin gimel. Meaning, and he comes to the answer is a question that many people are bothered by in Chumash. Why, if Avram kept all the mitzvos, so why did he wait to perform Mila? Right? Did he wait till he was older to perform Mila? Mila is one of the mitzvos, so he should have done it earlier. So he quotes here from the Mizrahi that explains that no, that when if it's a one-time deal, so then you have to wait for you to be mitzvah. Meaning, Avram did all the mitzvos in a way like kaviyachol, like a bederech chinuch, like an 11-year-old does mitzvos. So, but if there's a mitzvah that he wouldn't be able to, and then when he, you know, got instructions on it, or whatever that means, then he continued to do it. But if it was a mitzvah that was a one-time deal, so then he would wait to be commanded. So that's why Avram waited to be commanded to do the bris milah before he did the bris milah, and so too for a child. If a child knows that he's going to have to do pidyon, he would wait for himself to be bar mitzvah, and he would do a pidyon only at that point. Now, the part that's a little bit unclear, and this is actually part of the Kedushin Sugya, is do we wait that long? Meaning, maybe the Beis Din should go ahead and do it. Maybe the father's refusing to do a pinyon event, so maybe Beis Din should step in and do the pinyon event beforehand. So that gets a little dicey, because, well, maybe the kid wants to do it himself. Meaning we mentioned already before that Zachan La'adam Shalom Afanav doesn't really work in Pidyon HaBen because it's considered a chov. The person really wants to do it themselves, and therefore mitzvah bo yosir mi b'shlucho. So in this kind of situation, would we wait or would we not? So that comes up here in the Ramah. Plus the Ramah says, V'yesh mi shekasav, dekosfin lo al tas shel kesef she'eno nifta. Meaning this kid, what did the Mechaber seem to say? He seems to be saying, wait till the kid is 13, and then he'll do a pinyon aben when he turns 13. Comes the Ramah and says, well, that's kind of dangerous, because that means, like, let's say we figured this out when he was young. All right, the father refused to do pinyon aben. 30 days go by, he doesn't want to do pinyon aben. A year goes by, this is crazy. I don't want to put up with all these crazy mishugasim, but I'm selling my... he comes with all the excuses not to do a pinyon aben. So say, fine, I guess the kid's going to wait for him to for that until he turns bar mitzvah. The only problem is that that's a pretty long time. Who says that anyone's going to remember that he's chayv in pinyon aben when he turns bar mitzvah? So we have a solution for everything. Comes the Ramah, and he quotes from the... we'll see, it's in dark emotion, from the Maharil, that Misha Kasav, the Kosvin Lo Al Tas Shel Kesef, that you should take a piece of silver, I think it's a back of a spoon or something, She'eno Nifta, that he wasn't Poda, V'tolen Lo B'tzavaro, and hang it around his neck. So you make like a dog tag for the kid that says, Eno Poda, right? Kadesha Yada Liftos, that way everyone will know to be po to him when he gets older, right? So Yodea Liftos said he'll know to be po to himself when he gets older. And then the Mechaber continues with another din. What about if this was from Kedushin, right? That Arei who Liftos, who no Liftos, Yifta Atso Tchila, if he needs a pidyon and his son needs a pidyon, he should do himself first, and then be po to his son, and if he only has money for one, so then he should be po to himself, even at the expense of being po to his kid. Okay, that's the end of the, based on Gemara in Kedushin. But what do we do with this this little mark around his neck? Now, the Shach here jumps in and says, hey, this is going to be a problem. right? So if you go back to the previous, right, on page Kuf Lamed Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch, so the Shach here in Chaf on the bottom line says, he says, Hilcha Halacha Megumgam. He says, this is a little bit messed up. The Yesh Lomer Gam HaMechaber Modeh Baha. That it sounds like the Mechaber agrees to this. Mihu lefima shakasuv le'el sif katun yud aleph, ain't sarach letas shel kesem. According to what we said in yud aleph, you don't need to do this. Ain't kodem so b'shavas el yamtin ad yom yud aleph, yom aleph. Not sure what he's going with over there. Meaning what he wrote in Yud Aleph, what the Shach wrote in Yud Aleph, you wouldn't do this. What the Shach wrote in Yud Aleph? I'm not sure what he's referring to, but he thinks that this is against the din. Vegam l'rov pamim, he says, not only that, but what are you going to do? You're going to take a 30-day-old baby, and you're going to stick this dog tag around its neck. Well, I don't know if it's going to last that long, right? L'rov pamim, most of the time, hatas shel kesef, the Shach says, boli de'ibud, he ends up losing it, right? The tov yosef, what would be best to do? Lifdoso ha-basin kashahu katam. The best thing to do would be for the basin to be poda him when the child is... while he's still a katan. So that's the Shach's recommendation. So how do we, what do we do in this kind of situation, right? The child is, there's nobody to be poda him. Do we wait for the child to become bar mitzvah, or do we not? So in the sefer here, in Pidyon HaBen Kehilchasa, so he discusses this issue, and so he quotes the Ramah, and he says... Right, so if you see I put this in the source sheet. This is I'm not sure which page though, but on the top of the page is Yud Aleph, although we're not doing Yud Aleph, we're just in the footnote from the previous page. So you see the footnote at the top right where he says Ra Divrei Chamudus al Arash Bibuchoros Kemaisa Shibuchor Nifte al Yede Avi Aviv, that a child is once poda by his grandfather. She stopping Shan im Chalapit Yon Bahora Lichtov Al Tas Shahu Safik Nifte. So why would be the problem there? Meaning to have anybody else be poda the child besides the father or the child eventually, is a bit of a suffix, because maybe it's not being done on, it might be in his interest to wait and for him to do it himself. So he quotes here then the Shach. The Shach says, Katzaval Eitzazush, it's not enough. Kivin Shabarov Pamim, Nevar Hatas, Beribu Yazman, Achi Yigdal. You end up losing the little mark, the dog tag. V'lachain Kasev Sha'adiv Haroi Shabasin, it's better if the basin does it itself and not wait for him to get older. And that's according to the Shita, that basin could be poda even without the father's knowledge. And the Tzam Sofer also says, he agreed to me, it was tov, that Basin should do it right away while he's young. El Shemachma Safik Shema Ein Pidyon Amo, maybe it won't work. Yiftu'u Al Tanai, Shuban Al Tanai, and then when he gets older, he, so instead of putting on his dog tag that he wasn't poda, you put on his dog tag that he's a Safik Nifta. He's a Safik whether he was poda. And see, that's what he says. But then, he quotes a very interesting story here. He says, Ubusefer Torah Rabbeinu Shmuel Salant. Right, so who is Shmuel Salant? So we actually spoke about him this past Shabbos between Mincha and Maariv. Right, he was the Rav of Yerushalayim at the time when this whole thing with Rav Sussinger was going on with the shofars and all sorts of other interesting items. Remember, we spoke about the Ger in Yerushalayim, who had Mila, it was Shabbos between his Mila and his Tefillah, and they told him that he had to be Machal Shabbos, and he had to figure out what to do. So all of this, it happened to be Shmuel Salant wasn't around that Shabbos. He was the Rav of Yerushalayim for many, many decades. I'm not sure exactly how long. It's something like from 1850 to 1910, like a very, very long, long time. So Rav Shmuel Salant tells the following story. He says, V'shas Taf Reish Samach Vav. So you can figure out what that is. So Nolad be Yerushalayim ben Bechor l'imo. There was born in Yerushalayim a firstborn to a mother. The Aviv, I'm not sure, Nun Lamed Beis Ayin, I don't know, ran away. I'm not sure what that stands for. Before the bris. Oh, sorry, he died. Right, v'aviv, he died before the bris. V'nikra shem haben b'Yisrael k'shem aviv. So therefore, the child had the same name as the father, right? So he was named for his father, Yaakov ben Yaakov or something. So v'hagon or shmuel salant hora. So what then do you do about the pidyon haben, right? So this is the case. The father's dead. So what do you do about the pidyon haben? So the shmuel salant said that you should wait with the pidyon haben until the child gets older, v'yiftes atzmu, and should redeem himself in accordance with the ramah against the shach. Right, that you should wait, etc., and we should know. So how is anybody going to remember that this kid didn't have his pidyon yet? He says, "V'chshemalu lo shloshim yom." So on day 30, Rishmuel Salant, his min hagon Rishmuel Salant lebeso minyan shel kohanim. He invited 10 kohanim to his house, umaser modal lifnehem, and made an announcement in front of them, Shebechor zeh einenu padoi. Right? You should all know, this child isn't poda, right? And you guys are still the money. Uvikesh me'im hayelad, he also requested from the mother, Shetavi mi'besa kaf shel kesef, that the mother should bring a silver spoon. Vatzoref ridad es hakaf, va'asa mimena tas, and I'm not sure what it means. It sounds like they pounded the spoon or something like that and made a tag. Shacharto alav es shem hayeled, that they engraved into it the name of the child. V'gam hoda, and also an announcement. Shehu b'chor, that he's the oldest. Shelo nifta, and hasn't yet been poda. V'sha'alav liftos atzo kishayagdil, that he should take care of it when he gets older. So he walked around with this necklace, it sounds like. V'tziva le'em hayel, he also told the mother, shelo tasir es hatasimenu afilu be'es rechitza, that even when the kid takes a bath, right, don't take that necklace off of his, don't take that thing off of his neck. V'nosef l'kach tziva lahatvis l'miskeres al nayer yafe be'osios zahav boltos luach kenira litloso b'makum bolet l'schor tamid. And he also said that we should make up some kind of, take nice paper and draw up in nice letters an announcement that you'll hang up in a clear place that will announce this kid, that will remind everybody that this kid hasn't had his pidyon haben yet. Now, in case you're wondering what such a form looks like, he actually has it in the sefer. So that's the next page in the sources is actually the pronouncement that Shmuel Salant had made. He says, right, Haluach Hazeh Yeli Lozikaron Ani Avram Hananya Ben Hananya, right? Okay, that was his name. Davis, I guess that's his last name, right? Mizichron Tuvia Depo Yerakoji Yushalayim Bechor Anochi Ama Bechor Peter Rachel Leimi Mirasi Miras Yenta Rachel, right? I'm Yenta Rachel's. Rather, we're actually a woman named Yenta. Okay, my mother's name, right? Mother's name is Yenta. But Odlo Naftisi, I have not yet been Poda. No Lati, I was born on this day. The Chesha Eske Bechazo Yisparach Lios Bar Mitzvah Hainu Biyom Yudches Sivan in Tafresh Ayin Tes as Akayim Benafshi Mitzvos Pidyon Abachor V'Yirasun Shehakon Sheikavel Pidyoni Yehakoin Hagadol Asher Yichayin As Payar Beis Hamegdash Sheibanev Imhera V'Yameinu, and maybe Yizoche that the coin that I use should be the coin Gadol doing the Avoda in the Beis Hamegdash, which will be rebuilt Imhera V'Yameinu. Okay, so that in case it ever comes up, you know where to find the text to remind everybody that a pidyon haben has not yet taken place. So, anyways, thought that was pretty cool. Okay, so that is that issue. Okay, so continue on a little bit in Shulchan Aruch. So one or two more halachos here. So he says, "Inein lo nechasim b'nei chorin." If the father doesn't have any money in order to do pidyon, ein hakohen gov mishubadim. The kohen is not permitted to take from the mishubadim. This was in kedushin, right? This was in Daf Yomi, right? Afapi shekadam chov hapidyon lechov habalchov. Even though the chov of the pidyon comes before the balchov, still it's not going to work. Why is that? That the obligation to do pidyon comes before the balchov. So, well, of course, it comes from Har Sinai, right? That's why. Shachir says the milvak suv b'torah lav kiksuv b'shtar dami. He says because it's a milvak suv b'torah. It's something that was written in the Torah, but We don't paskin that way, meaning even though the Torah obligates this payment, we don't assume that that is considered to be like a real obligation, and therefore the father would not be able to take the Kohen would not be able to take from money or put a lien on property of the father, right? It had to be something that that it has to be money that he has at that time. Also, so then Yud Zayin continues, Ein pinyon habachor talui el bepeter rechem, that's only if he is the opening of the womb. Shim eino bechor, if he's not the bechor la'im, afal pishu hu bechor la'av, so if he's not the mother's firstborn, he's only the father's firstborn, so he's not going to be chayv in pinyon. V'yeshlo kamanashim, but if the father has multiple wives, v'yeshlo bechor mikol achas v'achas, and he has a firstborn from each and every one, chayv liftos es kulam. In that case, he would be doing multiple pinyon habens. Right, so if the father has several wives, so each one that has a firstborn son, that's a peterachem, so he would be chayav in pinyon haben. So nowadays we don't have multiple wives. So is it ever possible that a father would do multiple pinyon habens in his life?
Of course.
What?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. If his first wife, if he divorces or his wife dies, right? So if he has another wife, he gets another wife. So then, and she has a firstborn, right? So that would, okay, fine. So that is Yud Zayin. So then Yud Ches is, Yud Ches is a quick, if you go to the last, I think it's the last page, is a page from the tour on the next page in Yud Ches that has the Gemara that covers this then. So here, Yud Ches covers the halachos of the Kohen Levi issue. That they're going to be exempt. So the Beis Yosef here quotes the Gemara, Perek Yesh Bechor, Amar Rav Adda Bar Ava, Leviya Sheyalda Bina, Pater Mi Chamisha Salayim. That if a Leviya, a Leviya is a Bas Levi, so she has a son, so also you'd be Pater. So the truth is the Gemara there has a bit of a dispute. Rav Papa says, no, that's only if she was impregnated by a guy. Meaning what? That if he was impregnated by a guy, so then the son doesn't have any relationship to the father. It's only by the mother, and therefore he would be a Levi. So that's one option. The truth is, I wonder if that's actually the case. Meaning if a Bas Levi marries a guy, or whatever, has a child with a guy, and then the child is born, so is that child a Levi? I don't know.
He's surprising. Usually goes by the father, no?
Right, but here there's no father. The point is that there's no father in this case.
Nope.
So, it sounds like that's what the Havamina is in this Gemara. What?
I guess so. Oh, I don't think we have the Gemara on the sheets. I didn't find it. Last page on these sheets is the Yoredeya.
Right, but that's not discussing the last page on the piece here. Oh, no. Really, it's not the page from the Beis Yosef?
Yeah, Beis Yosef is there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. So that's I'm on the side here, Yud Ches. So he's quoting from this Gemara here. Right, so that's the first opinion. And Mishnah the Rav Amar, no, afilu b'di avar mi Yisrael. Even if Bas Levi is impregnated by Yisrael, my tayir peterechem talarachmana, that was all based on peterechem, and this is actually a peterechem from this mother, and the peterechem is talking about describing amongst the Kohanim and Levim. So it's a Levi's peterechem, so therefore she's going to be exempt. And that's the way the Rush says, that's what you paskin. Krav adabar ava, v'livet debar bar av Yosef, shmei de rava, hadin hu nuscha de ravacha mishacha, v'hachinam mihilchas pesukos l'aramban, v'chaz da fiul isfarm de lo garsi, v'livet debar bar av Yosef, shmei de rava, mucha chasam begemara, the libi didehu, the kamrina de loch krav adabar ava, v'chim psakaram. Okay, even if it's a little unclear what the gear says, that's the way we paskin, that even the case of Ibas Levi is not going to be chayv and pidyon. Now the bedik
provided the husband is a guy, but
no, we don't paskin that way. No, we paskin the other way. That because it's a Levi's a Bas Levi's peterechem, that's enough to exempt the kid from a pidyon, even if the father is Jewish. That's the way that we paskin. I mean, it's about focus in the Gemara, and that's the way that we paskin. Now, the Beis Yosef adds here at the end. He says, "Hey, what about the following case? Kasev etrumas adeshen al bas kohen penuya shelo bichra v'nis avra biznus. What about a bas kohen penuya who got pregnated by way of znus v'yal de ben and then had a son Va'amra, and she said, Miploni Yisrael Nisavarti. And she says, oh, I was impregnated by Yassel, the Jew. V'hu machishota, but Yassel, the Jew, says, hey, what are you pulling me into this? It's not for me. Va'amra mi goy nisavra. Right? It was impregnated, you were impregnated by a goy. Now, unsaid here in the Truma Sedeshin is that if a Bas Kohen is impregnated by a guy, the child would be Chayiv in Pidyon HaBen because she loses her Kedushas Kahuna at that point. Mm-hmm. So she says, I was impregnated by a Jew, right? And the Jew says, don't pull me into this, you were impregnated by a guy. So, in which case, not only do I not have to pay child support payments, which is probably what motivated him in the first place, but you're also going to be, Chayiv in Pidyon HaBen. So v'nosin amasla v'hochachos levarif, he brought proofs. V'ben niskadel, and the child grows up. V'hayelish, and became a man. Imhu chayev lifto sasaso. Does he then have to be poda himself at that point? So the to which the Truma Sedeshin said, no, he's not chayev to be poda himself, because there's a suffix about who his father is. Now, if you go ahead and do a DNA test and figure out who actually the father is, that might change things, but that wasn't a part of the Truma Sedeshin's cheshbon at that at that point. Truth is, the whole DNA thing to figure out who parents are is a big issue. Sort of for issues like this, right? Because if a father, right, if there's a married couple and the woman and the husband accuses her of having an affair, and she says, she says you were the father and you owe child support payments. So the father says, well, I'll be willing to pay child support payments as long as you take a DNA test. Right? So if you do a DNA test and it turns out that the child is not the father's son, so that child is now a mamzer. Right? So it's a whole big issue as to whether that is ever done, acceptable, or can you split the baby? That's the right word. can you split the psak of the results in that case and say that, well, you don't have to pay child support, but yet the kid's not going to be a mamzer. I mean, how do you deal with it in that case? So that's a sort of a different topic. But anyways, here back into the Shulchan Aruch itself in Yud Ches. So what do we have? How do we paskin here? So Kohanim Leviim Petur Mi Pinyon Aben. So Kohanim Leviim, they're Pater. And even if it's a Kohanis V'Leviya, Nisuli Yisrael, Ein Haben Chayv V'Pidyon, She'ein Adavar Tali Ba'av El Ba'ein, because it's based on her womb, She'nemar Peter Rechem B'Yisrael, V'im Nis Avra Me'avod Ovechachav, but if she got impregnated from a guy, so Ben HaLevi is going to be Pater, because it's still from her, but a Ben Kohanis would be Chayv V'Pidyon. Why? She'ein Nischal Le'imo, because by having with the guy, the woman became a chalal, and the child also was a chalal. Mina kahuna, the ilas ove kochavim, and therefore she's now subject the son to pidyon haben. The imhi omeris, and then the Ramah quotes from the Truma Sedeshin. If she says, "Hey, shemi Yisrael nisavra, the Yisrael machishav omer shemi ove kochavim nisavra," there's a paternity fight, right? And the Jew says you were impregnated by a guy, and the guy and she says I'm impregnated by a Jew. So the ben would be putter from the pidyon because it's all still besafik as to who the actual father is. I think there is a shach here that maybe discusses a little bit more, but I might get into that suffix issue that's bothering us, but I didn't look into it yet. So maybe we'll stop here, and Neshekach, we'll continue next year. That's what's the show. Motzi Tzom Gedalia, so... It should be. Maybe we'll do it a little bit later. Well, we'll see. Okay. Figure out what the time is. All right. Have a good night.
Okay. Bye. Bye.